Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. A word of caution, these conversations may contain story spoilers. I'm Tom Holler, one of the Delray editors who worked on this project. Right now, I'm talking to Mark Oshiro, author of a story called The Hunger. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to talk Wampas.
Great.
So much about Wampas.
That's where we're going to start, with the Wampa, you know, one of the iconic Star Wars creatures, one of the obviously iconic creatures from The Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. So tell me about, you know, during the process when you were trying to figure out what story you would do, what led you to the Wampa? How quickly were you like, the Wampa, now?
Very quickly. If I remember the pitching process, I only pitched two characters at all to you. One was Winrow Hood. And for me, it was because one of the things I liked about the first anthology was how many weird characters and how many things I didn't expect there to be a story about. So I knew going into it, I actually didn't want to claim one of the main protagonists or any one of the main characters. Like, no. I want someone who's only on screen for maybe 5-10 minutes, and I want to develop a whole story. So it was Winrow Hood and Wampa. And for me, I think being a kid growing, like, the Return of the Jedi came out just before I was born. So I was born in 1983. So my entire childhood is centered around watching those movies. And the thing I gravitated to the most was all of the creatures, all of them. And I love them so much. So it was not very hard to arrive at Wampas. I just saw so much potential to tell a story that hadn't really been told, had been hinted at in canon over the years. But I just was like, I want to draw these different connective threads together to tell a story.
Well, one of the things that I so appreciated, and you mentioned, like, you know, the first anthologies had some interesting and weird perspectives. And in this one, you and many of the other writers have embraced that and really brought the weird, which is great because Star Wars is kind of at its best when it's weird.
Yeah.
And as part of that it sort of, in order to embrace the weird of this particular story, it kind of represented an interesting challenge about, well, how do you write from the perspective of the Wampa? And so for you, this became, it's a very stylistically unique story. There are pretty much no names. There's really nothing that you would really totally describe as dialogue per se. And so there's a lot of, like, really long descriptive flowing paragraphs and then, like, short, very staccato, like, single word passages. So tell me about, like, how you kind of stylistically constructed how you were going to put this story together and how you were going to voice the Wampa.
I mean, what a challenge. Of course, I had to pick one of the hardest ones as well, because, like you said, and it was something we actually ran into when we were doing edits with Lucasfilm, is there was a point where I had the Wampa name a Tauntaun, and someone rightly pointed out, how do they know what a Tauntaun is? Like, how do they know that's its name? And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that doesn't make sense. They wouldn't have that term for it. And so a huge challenge was, I wanted this story to be as much a close third person in this Wampa's head as you could with a non-human creature. And so that meant things like how description works, like how does it, and so I was just thinking of it, you have to think of everything as, like, this is its natural world and the natural things it encounters. It's not gonna talk about the cold and the tundra and the winter the same way a human would. So it was probably the most methodical thing I've ever had to write, because I had to think on a very, like, on a sentence level, does this make any sense at all? Or is someone going to, because that's the thing. I think what's so fun for so many of us who are Star Wars fans is how consistent some of that logic is across the series. And I was like, I got to respect that. As a lifelong Star Wars fan, I want this story to hit in a way where you're like, yeah, this is a Wampa and I'm in the Wampa's head and now I'm viewing the world that way. So even when it came to portraying emotions, because that stuff was hard too, I'm like, how much can a Wampa be sad? Like, how does that work? Is that too human? And so putting it in terms of family, and I think that's really what it came down to, is this is the Wampa's clan. And I drew from existing canon, from some of the comic books, from some of the books about that there used to be a Wampa clan in the actual caves that the Hoth ice base was built. You had to get them out. There are deleted scenes from Empire Strikes Back that address the Wampas that were actually there. So I just took that and twisted it a little. What does it mean if your home gets taken away, and not for any cruel reason? Like, it wasn't like the rebels were like, yo, here's some Wampas, let's go mess up their lives, and, like, we're gonna gentrify these caves. Like, that's not how the rebels saw it, but I just wanted to twist it a little and put us in. I was going to say the boots. See, you can't even say that. You can't put yourself, they don't wear boots. Put yourself in the paws of a Wampa.
That works. That works.
Claws. There we go. So yeah, that's how it informed the writing process, which made it hard. But I think the end result allows the reader to sort of, you know, disappear into the story in a way that I hope is very satisfying.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a real challenge to have to consider and ask questions that you kind of don't normally have to ask in many stories, much less specifically a Star Wars story. Remember, we had one exchange. We were just like, wait, what does a lightsaber smell like? Because we were trying to think about, like, you know,
right,
something like a human character or a humanoid type character in Star Wars sees a lightsaber, and the way they interact with it or react to it or describe it, the Wampa kind of can't do any of those things. So we're like, well, what other ways instinctually can we create description? And we're just like, what does a lightsaber smell like? Wouldn't a Wampa like smell a lightsaber?
There was also that interesting thing we came up with where there is an early scene where the Wampa is shot at, and it's a moving beam of light. So yeah. I had to then think, oh, a lightsaber is a beam of light that doesn't move. And how would a Wampa react to that? And so we did smell and sight. And these are the ways that a Wampa is going to see these things and process that information. And I think it added just a little bit more of that tragedy element of the story of this Wampa thought that, like, I got this. Someone shot light at me before. I know what I'm doing. And that's how I gave that sense of, like, purpose that the Wampa has when it charges Luke. It's like, I know what I'm doing. I've dealt with this before. And there's that sense of loss of weight. What is this thing? What just happened to me?
Something else you said about, like, you know, when the Wampas are removed from their cave, it is, you know, it is not like a pointedly evil act of, again, like, we're going over here to get rid of these Wampas.
Right.
It's like, oh no, we found these Wampas. We're scared of them. They look dangerous. We also need the space, and there's this fight.
Right.
And what's interesting is that, you know, Star Wars is very often about, like, these clear, distinct lines of good and evil. There's, like, the good guys and gals and everyone else over here, and the bad people over here, and they're going to fight. And that's very much what many Star Wars stories are centered around. But Empire, as much as any other film in the saga, is actually populated with these, like, entities and creatures and characters who kind of exist outside that binary. And the Wampa,
right,
and the Wampa's journey is one of those. And I think it's interesting that you found this way to make it about, like, it's actually just like a bunch of competing objectives that happen to overlap and bring Luke and the Wampa into conflict. But it's not actually about them really wanting to destroy each other. It's that the Wampa's like, you're in my way. I can't find this thing I've lost.
Yeah.
Even if you aren't responsible for it, like, you're in the way of me finding it. So it's really interesting that you, I think it would have been an easy to develop a story where it's like, yeah, the Wampa's just big and evil and he's a monster.
And just, yeah, clearly just built eats out people.
Of, yeah. It's built but out of, like,
the Wampa doesn't just eat. And what we see in the movies is the case easier. It never ever felt like this targeted specific thing in terms of evil. And I think about how much, especially when you look at, like, the second half of Empire Strikes Back and, like, a character like Lando Calrissian, like, it's the so much of that movie is, yes, there is a rebellion, and yes, there's the Empire, and those sides are very well drawn. What about all the people in the middle? What about the people who are forgotten? What about the people who are collateral damage? And I mean, I think that's actually the case with the first anthology too, is I think it's so much fun to play in the morally gray areas. I think it's fun to play in the margins. I think that you can tell some of the best stories by thinking about the people who aren't actually the protagonists and centering them. So I loved getting to play in that weird moral sandbox. Like the way that you put it, like, it's more about, I have a desire and the rebels have a desire. What happens when they collide and no one can expect what comes of that?
Exactly. And speaking of no one can expect, you do conclude the story, for all that there is conflict and clashing, you do conclude the story with a very, like, hopeful moment and spot for the Wampa. And what led you to, like, being like, okay, this is where I want to round the story out to?
Yeah.
And also, though, do you think that that is a hope that is misplaced? Do you think that's a hope that's going to come through?
Yeah, I think... So where that came from is I wanted to also keep the story from beginning to end in this sort of, like, closed loop of this is this creature's environment. And one of the things that is canon and is also so fascinating about the Wampas is the Wampa is the prime supreme predator on Hoth. which means it's survived everything. And so I love the idea of just at the end, even if you don't know, I don't want to spoil everything, you won't know everything. There's a big mystery sort of left unsolved. But I love the idea of the Wampas will outlast that as well, is that no matter what you throw at them, they're always going to be here on Hoth. And so you have this destruction of the Rebel base on Hoth. And yeah, that's a terrible plot twist for the main characters. But what about all the creatures who are left on Hoth who have to survive? And so I loved just adding that little bit at the end, like, you'll survive this too. And there will be more afterwards.
It's really great. And it does give us like hope for this creature that you come to really endear yourself to in reading, yeah. Because he's motivated by affection and love and loss and all the things that even if you are not a Wampa, even if you are not in his paws, that you can relate to. Now, I told you this when it happened way back during the editing phase. And so we're gonna talk through this. We had a whole lot of fun putting this story together, from all the weird questions about what it smell like and everything like that. But maybe the best editorial comment ever was regarding an unintended interesting use of the word mount that you had in the original draft of your story. And I wrote you a note that just said, is the use of the word mount here intentional? It was just so much fun. We laughed about it so much. You kind of have to give the readers a little context to the mount story.
It's so weird because once I did tweet about it very vaguely before this anthology was even announced, that was like, hey everyone, just be careful about how you use the word mount in your manuscripts because you may get the most horrifying editorial note of all time. And once I said that, everyone's like, is there another use for that word? And I was like, yes, there is. How was I the only person who thought of it? I was thinking, so there is a scene, there's a point where the Wampa, after it has killed the Tauntaun, it has captured Luke, it attaches Luke to the ceiling of this cave. And I was thinking, I had to actually look up, like, how did it do that? Turns out it's saliva. They use their saliva to freeze things to the roof of their cave. That's how they hang their prey. And in my head, I was thinking like when you like mount a painting on the wall, like a frame, like that was the perfect word. And I want you to know, I actually pulled up the original manuscript so that I could look at it and recite the actual line that I gave you, which was, this is a nightmare. He was out there, he was out here in the tundra. He had been for some time. He knew he would mount the tiny one and consume the Tauntaun. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, he'll mount the tiny one. And that, oh my God.
It is
disaster of a sentence.
No, it gave everyone such joy because it's just such a great, you know, making stories is hard. It's fun, but it's hard. And so any moment, any extra moment of whimsy and fun and a good laugh to be had.
There we go.
And it's fun to be able to have fun about word choice. It's such a great little story.
Lucasfilm that's it. I'm fired. They're going to be like, what is he doing? Isn't he a young adult author? What is going on here? There you go. You're welcome.
This is why there are drafts. This is why we edit things. And to be honest, it just made the experience of what is already a crazy, amazing, memorable story. Yeah, just that.
Thank you.
Yes. And so thank you for writing this and thank you for coming to hang out and tell that story and have all sorts of fun with us today. Thank you everyone for listening. You can read The Hunger and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, which is available right now from all of your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and as an audio download. Thank you, and may the Force be with you.